Good morning. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here this Palm Sunday morning. Do you know what Palm Sunday is? A day of celebration because it marks the day Jesus came as the Savior of the people. Palm Sunday is the first day of Holy Week. Palm Sunday derived from the tradition of using the palms, as you saw the children bringing them in this morning, and it's a reenactment of Christ's arrival to the Holy City. The palm branches are known for being the sign of peace, where they threw them at Jesus' feet as he entered into Jerusalem. In keeping with the tradition, the palms are carried in as a procession into the church during Palm Sunday. These palms are later used on Ash Wednesday. They are burnt, saved over the year, and burned. And then when you have a palm service, not Ash service, Ash Wednesday service, they are burnt, and then they're used for Ash Wednesday. And I just want to give you a couple highlights this morning. You'll see in your bulletin, on the back side of your bulletin, you will find a couple activities that are happening this Holy Week. Outside in the foyer, you will find the prayer vigil poster if you are not busy those 2 days. We'd love for you to sign up and pray for our Holy Week next Friday and Saturday. And then on Easter Sunday morning, we have a sunrise service at 6:45 at Holt Chapel, and then Easter egg hunt, and if adults want to come, we'd love for you to come and find Easter eggs too, at 9:30, and then Sunday school at 9:45, and then we have our Lord's Supper during our 11 o'clock worship on Easter morning, and then there will be no activities on Easter afternoon. And also, you will find, if I brought it with me, a little green form here. We would love for you to fill this out if you with help with Vacation Bible School, June the 26th through the 29th. So if you're able and willing, please fill that out. Thank you again for being here on this Palm Sunday and coming out to support the choir for their Easter cantata.
Our first scripture is Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and in a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us pray. Dear Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and the celebration and waving of branches. As we enter Holy Week, help us to remember all the pain and suffering that Jesus endured for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for all of your many blessings and the hope you give us in Jesus being the light of the world. We lift up all those in our prayer list, and we ask for your healing and comfort to those in need. We ask for your blessings on these gifts we are about to receive and for the givers. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is a medley of Palm Sunday songs, and you will see them on the screen. Let's stand and let's worship. And hold on, you'll see a response. We're going to do a responsive reading first. I'm going to read, and then y'all are going to respond. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus set out for Jerusalem. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. While others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road, he came near the place where the road goes down to Mount Olives. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice and all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds that went ahead of him and those who followed and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest."
Thank you. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me in garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Thank you.
There is a place where good news is preached to the poor, a place where the brokenhearted are bound up. There is a place of freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners.
There is a place where those who mourn are comforted, where a spirit of despair is exchanged for a garment of praise, a place where you can hear it proclaimed to all the world, "This is the year of the Lord's favor."
And in coming to this place, we find that our longing for purpose causes us to stumble upon ancient truths only to discover that they are timeless.
Yes, there is a place where love and mercy meet. Behold the cross of Christ.
Searched me, you know my way, even when I fail you, I know you love me, your holy presence surrounding me.
It stands alone on history's timeline, marking the disintegration of the law and the advent of grace. Tragic, absurd, radical. This world has both adored and despised it, embraced and shunned it, but the events that occurred on a hill called Calvary, events that surrounded the very cross of Christ, all cry out, "Here is the Savior of the world."
No depth of sin is deeper than his mercy. No history of depravity is longer than his record of grace. And though we'll never understand it, somehow in his presence and by his touch, every pauper becomes royalty and every sinner a saint.
If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
I believe in the Christ who was slain on that cross, has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and death is no more, us to cling. To that old rugged cross.
The cross of Christ knows no race or gender. It doesn't see economic wealth or poverty, and it doesn't recognize status or prestige.
Yet the cross of Christ is the dividing point of history and the unifying event of eternity. It's there that our differences disappear because our need draws us together.
And we come to the cross as beggars, each of us owning a debt we could never repay, looking to him who took on himself what he did not owe.
At the cross we are known and nothing is hidden. We come not because of our rights, but because of our poverty.
At the cross, he was forsaken. At the cross, we are accepted. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. An instrument of death for him became a symbol of life for us. He was lifted up, and we are bowed down. He was made a prisoner of the nails. We are made free by his wounds.
You remember the story. On Sunday, Jesus entered Jerusalem, accompanied by crowds hailing him as the Messiah, the promised deliverer of Israel.
Later that week, in an upper room, he gathered with his disciples for a final meal, celebrating the Passover.
From there to Gethsemane, a quiet garden, where he instructed his followers to watch and to pray. It was there he cried out to his Father for this cup, this shameful cup of death, to be taken from him.
Suddenly, his praying was interrupted as a large crowd from the chief priests and elders of the people, together with Judas, burst into the garden and arrested Jesus. Subjected to a mock trial, he was sentenced to a cruel death by crucifixion.
It was there that the Son of God was nailed to a tree, sacrificed for the sin of the world. Then he was buried alone and forsaken in a borrowed tomb, and a large stone was rolled in place at the entrance, sealing the sepulchre.
We stopped the cantata there for a purpose, so that you could think about what happened during Holy Week, and then on Easter morning we'll finish the cantata, and we'll celebrate the resurrection of our Christ, our Savior. So our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 146 in our hymn book, if you want to look in your hymn book, or it will be on the screen, Oh How He Loves You and Me. Let's stand.
You're fine. Before we do our final scripture, if you'll indulge me a moment. Years ago, I worked with youth in a church, and we had Youth Sunday. And the youth were in charge, and we had practiced, we had gone through, we had prepared, and we were on the radio. And it took exactly an hour every time, until it got to Sunday morning. And then everybody got nervous, and they talked faster than they normally did. And at quarter till 12, when the last person who was speaking finished, and we had 15 minutes of dead air on the radio, and I'm sitting with the choir, I realized, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? You don't realize as a congregation what it takes week by week to pull a service together and prepare you to worship. I want to thank Gay. On a day where Mason couldn't be with us, and on a day where we pray for David for healing and restoration for him, I want to thank Gay for taking the time. I know she had to be nervous when you feel like you're alone in a service. So I wanted to say thank you. With that, we've celebrated. I promise you, mistakes were made. You may not know it, but mistakes were made. But if you came here seeking perfection this morning, the only place to look is to the cross, because we're not perfect. Only Christ was. We've celebrated. We've rejoiced on a Palm Sunday. And now we stand in the looming shadow of the cross, and we prepare ourselves for next Sunday's worship, for the glory of the resurrection. Matthew 27, 45 to 55. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." And at once one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. God bless the reading of his word and the understanding in our hearts. If you would stand for a benediction. As we go, may God go before us, preparing the way. As we go, may he go behind us, cleaning up when we fail to do what he's asked. As we go, may he go beneath us, supporting us when we do not have the strength for ourselves. And as we go, may he go above us, watching over us, caring for us, loving us. But most importantly, as we go, may he go with us, reminding us daily of the sacrifice that was made on the cross by his Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.